Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 5, verses 31 to 38. John chapter 5, verses 31 to 38. Now keep in mind while we read this passage of Scripture, today's topic. Five witnesses. Five witnesses. Okay, let's read. John chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you've not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Now that's just a little short passage there, but in there Jesus Christ identifies five witnesses. He identifies himself as a witness, John the Baptist as a witness, his works as a witness, his Father as a witness, and his Word as a witness. And I'm telling you what, in a court of law, all you need is two that agree, and you've got enough. Jesus Christ has five witnesses. He said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. He's going to give you five to make sure that you know that he is God manifest in the flesh, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is who he said he was. These five things witness to the truth of Jesus Christ and who he was and what he came to do. There is even a sixth witness, but he's not going to give you that one. The sixth witness is the devil's. Everywhere he shows up, you know how they'll fall down like that in their worship and say, "We know who thou art. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he'd tell them to hold their peace. He'd cast them out. You know, Paul was followed around by a damsel that had the spirit of divination. And she was out there witnessing to the fact that Paul was servant of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation, she said. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. God and Paul, Jesus Christ, they don't want the devil's witness. There'll come a time when the devil will let the rest of the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2, the devil's going to bow down there and he's going to say Jesus is Lord on his way to eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. That's when God wants everybody to know what the devil has to say about Jesus. But in the meantime, he just shut them up and wouldn't use them as a witness. But they knew. So the first witness is Jesus himself. Look in verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Well, it's not that he didn't bear witness of himself. It's just that he didn't bear witness of himself alone. That's the difference. Look in John chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go." So he did bear record of himself. He did bear witness of himself. But it wasn't that he was a liar. It's that he had other witnesses to back it up. It wouldn't be true, or you couldn't count upon it, if it was the only testimony. Deuteronomy 19:15 talks about those matters in the Old Testament. If there's any accusation against a guy, you got to have more than one witness. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness does not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So Jesus is going to give you five. Now, in John chapter 18, verse 21, further proof that Jesus actually did bear witness to himself, at his own trial when they were, you know, trying to accuse him, he said, "Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." See, the testimony's out there. Well, what did he say about himself? Who was he? What did he come to do? What did he say about himself? Well, in John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." And compared himself to the manna that came down in the Old Testament. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." To contrast himself from the darkness that is in this world, and to show that in fact he is the light of God, like Genesis chapter 1. In John chapter 10, he said, "I'm the door of the sheep." He said, "I am the good shepherd," and identified himself in two capacities there. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, those are some bold things. Well, look at that. With him being the bread of life, if you had him, you'd never hunger or thirst in all of eternity. With him, if you had the light of the world, you'd never need any other artificial light of any other kind. You would not need the light of scholarship. You would only need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. With him being the door, then you have access into heaven. And you have protection once you're there. If you have him as the shepherd, then the thief can't get you. The thief would have to have permission to get you. The thief has come for to kill and to destroy and to steal. But I have come that might have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus Christ said. You get a shepherd like that, you're going to live forever. With him being the way, the truth, and the life, you don't have to worry about him lying to you. God can't lie. You don't have to worry about dying and not seeing God. You'll have life. You don't have to worry about going the wrong direction. You'll have Jesus Christ the way. You see how all the things he said of himself answer all of man's concerns? I had a fellow in my office one day bawling his eyes out about problems that he was having. And we visited in great detail. And I listened and very patiently let him spew it out. And after he'd done, I said, "Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the answer for every single one of the problems that you've given me." And I remembered the problems back to him. And as I repeated the problems to him, I showed him the verse of Scripture where Jesus Christ himself personally was the answer to his need. And in time, he bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Well, let me tell you, man, we're covered both ways. If we die, we're coming up. And if we live and he comes, we're going up. What a great thing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, "I am the true vine." So we're not attached to an earthly vine that's going to get trodden out in the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God in Revelation 14. We're going to live forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't he the all-sufficient Savior? And we certainly haven't said everything that Jesus Christ said about himself. But he gave enough witness to show you he is, in fact, the answer for every need you have, eternal and temporary. But that's not all, because that's not the only witness that he gave. The second witness that he has is John the Baptist in verses 32 to 35. "There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man. But these things I say unto you, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Oh, I'm telling you, when John the Baptist had that group, I'm telling you, he had that group as an audience before baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about spooky, man. That guy could preach. And he held nothing back. And he testified of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 3, verse 2. And Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching, what? The baptism of repentance and the remission of sins. And then he says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He told you the guy that he's talking about is the Lord. And all flesh, he says in verse 6, shall see the salvation of God. So he preached about Jesus Christ, and what he said is, number one, is the Lord. And when you go back there and check that out, it matches him right up there with Jehovah, God Almighty. He's the salvation of God, according to John the Baptist. And when those fellows came out there, he said, generation of vipers, who hath warned you from the wrath to flee from the wrath to come? And he gave them all their instructions, what they were able to do, what they should do. He even testified that he wasn't the Christ, but that that Jesus Christ would come and follow him. And he said, I am not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, save people. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable, lost people. And that's John the Baptist's testimony of him, that he's the Lord, he's God's salvation, and that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he'll baptize you with fire and send you into an unquenchable fire of hell if you don't take him. Pretty powerful words. But that's not all. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ testify of himself, and John the Baptist testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his works testified of him. His works testified of him. Look in verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And that's true. The Gospels are filled with miraculous works that Jesus did. Well, he raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the blind. He made the lame to walk. Healed the brokenhearted and forgave sins. Well, it's, you know, the people that were withered and bowed down in the bondage of Satan and in the bondage of sin, he healed. Those were great things that he did, powerful things that he did. So Nicodemus came to him one night in John chapter 3, verse 2, and he said to him this, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The works testified to Nicodemus that this was a man of God. Look in John chapter 9. The works that the Lord Jesus Christ did were to testify that he was doing the Father's will and that the Father had sent him. That's what they were to do. Look in John chapter 9, verse 32. This is the blind man that the Pharisees gave such trouble to, who had been blind from his birth, that was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They called Jesus a sinner and got after this man for following him and kicked him out of the synagogue. But you know why? Because that man told it straight. John chapter 9, verse 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Blind man said, he was sent from the Father. That guy's from God. Nicodemus said, that guy's from God. If he weren't from God, he could do nothing. John chapter 10, look at verse 21. Verse 20, for the context, many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The works testified even to the Pharisees that what he was doing was supernatural. They knew that much. They said, they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They knew it was supernatural. But these wise fellows here said, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? and testified that the works of, that Jesus Christ had done, in fact, testified to the fact that he didn't come from the devil, he came from God Almighty. Mark chapter 4. Let me just give you a taste of these things. They're more than what we're giving you here, but I'm giving you enough to establish the fact by several cross references that in fact Jesus Christ was, those works did testify, and some people around him caught on. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 41. The disciples were in a boat and they were about to drown, capsize. Verse 39. He arose. This is Jesus. Mark 4:39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So they recognized his supernatural power. And by going into the Old Testament, just taking a look real quick, there's only one person in the entire Bible that is given authority over the wind and the seas, and that is God Almighty. Look, there's several locations. I'll show you one in Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. O Lord God of hosts, you see that Lord there? That's all caps. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. See all that? That's Jehovah. That's God Almighty. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou, context, Jehovah God Almighty, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said to the wind and to the waves. Peace, be still. His works testify that, in fact, he is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. He's the second person of the Trinity. Some people have such a hard time with it. The Pharisees did back then. Why should we be surprised when there are people that have a hard time with it today? Amen? So, he said, "Now, I've got some witnesses." Jesus testified of himself. John the Baptist testified of Jesus Christ. His works witnessed that he was from God. But that's not all. Look in verse 37. His Father bore witness. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Well, we know that's true. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. Moses saw the back parts, but that's it. No man has seen God at any time. You hadn't heard his voice either. I'm a dull of hearing. Listen, when Jesus Christ was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, and he and John had both gone down to the water together, and then he was baptized, the Spirit of God came down from heaven and lighted upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And then what happened? There was a voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He said it again in Matthew chapter 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And then again in John chapter 12, a voice comes from heaven, and the people that are around there, they think it's thundering. John chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." So three times at least we have verbal confirmation and witness from God Almighty that Jesus Christ is the right one, sent from him. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter wrote about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "I heard that voice. I'm telling you what happened." He told us who he was. We know he's God manifest in the flesh. God said so. He said, my son. But that's not all. Jesus bore witness of himself. The witness was true because it was backed up by other witnesses. It didn't stand alone. John the Baptist witnessed of Jesus Christ. His works testified of him. His Father witnessed about him. And so did his word. Look in verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. See, if you had his word abiding in you, you would have figured it out, but you didn't have his word abiding in you. So, what happened? Whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Their trouble was belief. Not whether or not there were sufficient witnesses. Jesus Christ gave them five. They just refused to believe the witnesses. Now, his word testified, but because of their heart of unbelief, because of their deception by the devil. Look what happened in John chapter 8, verse 42, for instance. John chapter 8, look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay, so the lust of the father that they had was going to convince them that they needed to murder Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what they did. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And you know what they did? They lied about Jesus Christ. They brought in the false witnesses and had him crucified. So what do you say? It's very simple. They did what the devil wanted them to do, not what God the Father wanted them to do, and they couldn't understand the speech of the Lord Jesus Christ because he cannot hear my word, Jesus said. So, five witnesses. And the Bible is filled with testimony about Jesus Christ that they could look to. And we're going to hear more about that tomorrow when we do verse 39, because he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But I'll give you some examples. Give you some examples of the testimony of the scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb is a great testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We even have a song in the hymn book we sing like that. Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. The episode with Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, and God tells him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, his beloved son, is a great picture of God the Father and Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's such a great picture that when they go up there into Mount Moriah, they end up on Mount Calvary. We'll study that out for you sometime. They end up at Mount Calvary, and this transaction takes place at precisely the spot where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. They go up. They've got the knife. They've got the fire. They've got the wood, which is a picture of the cross, and that wood is being carried by Isaac, not by Abraham. Because Jesus Christ carried his cross. And he said, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God shall supply himself a lamb. Or God shall provide himself a lamb. And he does. He goes to the cross for you. He goes to the cross for me. He's the star of Jacob. And that star appears at his birth, and the wise men from the east follow that star. He would be born of a virgin, and he was. Mary was a virgin. She brought Jesus Christ into this world, having conceived him in her womb by the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit, before she knew Joseph. and the scripture testified of that, and the word was true, and Jesus Christ came by supernatural birth, and they would not believe him. They would not hear his word. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. They didn't believe him. He'd be born in the city of Bethlehem. Herod believed it, because when he found out that Jesus Christ was king of the Jews, Herod decided he would kill all the babies up to the 2 years old in Bethlehem, all the baby boys, in order to eliminate the future king of the Jews. Herod believed it. Said he'd come out of David. They even knew the time of his birth from Daniel chapter 9. They knew from Zechariah 9:9 of his triumphant entry. They knew how much he'd be sold for. Zechariah 11:12 tells you how much Judas Iscariot was going to sell Jesus for. They knew it in the Old Testament. Zechariah was written at least 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. And he had it all wired. And I mean, this thing goes on and on and on. We'll look at it more tomorrow when we search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We're going to check that out. But the point is that the word of God testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing how a lot of the cult religions cannot find the fact that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh based upon the testimony of the book. You know why they can't? For the same reason that the Pharisees couldn't. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. And that's about the size of it. So the witnesses that Jesus Christ had, that he was sent from God, were Jesus Christ himself. He never denied it. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ's works, Jesus Christ's Father, and the Word of God. Now that's plenty. And that's superlative. And that's great. I'm so glad I know him. I'm so glad he's my Savior. And I'm so glad that it's backed up by the book and that his Holy Spirit has given me a heart to believe and understand his words. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.